Our reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, are you a glass half full person or a glass half empty? We'll just do a quick straw poll. There is no moral value on this, okay? Glass half full? Glass half empty? That's interesting. Most of you glass half full. Interesting. I don't know what that says, but there we go. But it's a classic distinction, isn't it? Are you a glass half full or are you glass half empty? But I want to ask, how would you finish what these sentences? I don't have enough, or if only I had a bit more. I wonder what you would put there. And maybe you would write money, time, energy, space, friendship, other. Just covering my bases there. Just in case, I know some of you might have said height, but I'm not going to go into that. I don't have enough. If I only had a bit more, I wonder what you would have put. Because today, I want to shift us from what we could say is a scarcity mindset, which is, I don't have enough, to what we could call an abundance mindset. There's plenty. Now, I might not, let me be honest, I might not be able to change your mind today, but at least perhaps show you why an abundance mindset is so much better. I've been reading a fascinating book called Scarcity, Why Having Too Little Means So Much. And in it, the authors show that when we don't think we have enough of something, even subconsciously, it fundamentally affects the way we think. In fact, it affects our ability to make other decisions as well. So, and as part of their scientific research that they did, they went to a shopping centre. It was in America. It was a shopping mall. Or how do you pronounce it? No, let's not go there. They went to a shopping centre and said to people this. Imagine your car has some trouble and it requires £300 to be fixed, but your insurance will cover half. You need to decide whether to go ahead and get it fixed or take a chance and hope that it lasts longer. How would you go about making the decision financially? Would it be an easy or difficult decision to make? And I wonder what you would put. Some of you will be saying, I don't have a car, it doesn't apply to me, but let's say you did have a car. Well, after they asked these people these questions, they then asked people to do an on-the-spot intelligence test, okay, just to see how their intelligence was at that moment. And interestingly, whoever they asked, they came out similar. Okay? Now, They then changed the question very subtly. Imagine your car has some trouble and it requires £3,000 to be fixed. Your insurance will cover half. You need to decide whether to go ahead and get it fixed or take a chance and hope that it lasts longer. How would you go about making the decision? Financially, would it be an easy or difficult decision to make? It's interesting, isn't it? Now, after they'd asked somebody that question, again, they asked people to do an intelligence test. Now, the people who could also afford to pay that amount quite easily from savings or however, their on-the-spot intelligence was not affected. But those who would struggle to find £1,500 at short notice were now preoccupied with thinking about how could I possibly afford it. And as a result, they did less well in the test. Now, we have to be careful here. It's not saying that they were less intelligent, but the very fact that they're thinking about how do I make this happen was affecting how their brain works. In the book, they just talk about it. It's using up bandwidth. Because what the authors are showing, that once we start thinking we don't have enough of something, it starts using up mental bandwidth that affects everything else we do and our ability to make other decisions. And the thing we don't have enough of ends up taking a disproportionate amount of mental energy. It's really fascinating. And what you can end up with, actually, is tunnel vision. Now, just to help you understand this a bit more, it's because it's what happens in a crisis. You know, when a crisis hits, you just focus in on the crisis. Solve the crisis. You know, my child's got a leg falling off, right? Reattach it, get the sewing kit out. You know, that sort of thing. That's not what I do, by the way. But you see, what happens when we're in the scarcity mindset, I don't have enough, we are tapping into that crisis mode and it affects other things. So what is that for you? If only I had more of. I don't have enough. Because actually, according to this study, it will be affecting us more than we realize. Let me explain a bit how this works for me, because I've talked about this a bit before, but actually thinking about this has opened my eyes a bit. So I think how I would finish that sentence, I don't have enough time. And I often get to a point in a week where I think, I've not got enough time to do all the things God wants me to do. And then all I can think about is, I've got to get these things done. And then I'm ignoring everything else. Emails, phone calls, sometimes my family. And tunnel vision sort of takes over. And I end up not having the capacity to think about anything else. Or, you know, if my wife comes to me with, you know, Nick, we need to think about this. No, I just can't think about this at the moment because I need to get this done. Is this sounding familiar? Yeah? It works with money, it works with everything, where that's the scarcity mindset. Now, I'm now realizing that this is not just unhelpful, because look at what the key verse in our reading says. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, I used to think that chapters 8 and 9 of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians was a bit of an aside. You know, he's talked about the really important stuff, and now he's on to talking about money and giving. And, you know, he has to, but he doesn't really want to, perhaps because he's British. But, you know, that's not right. And it was through the radical course that we did earlier in the year that it hit me. What I do with my stuff, my money, my resources, my time, shows what I think about God. It shows what I have understood about God or not. It shows my obedience or not to the good news, if you look at verse 13 in our reading. And as I've looked at these verses, I've realized when I say I don't have enough time, I'm actually saying God has not given me enough time. And then that's got asking me a question, is that the God I believe in? A God who doesn't give me what I need? A God who sets me up to fail, who's trying to make things harder. Is that really who I believe God is? And then, you know, you look at the cross, the Father giving his only beloved Son for us. You look at Jesus on the cross, giving his life for us. You look at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit poured out upon us. Now, we have a God who gave his best, his most precious treasure for us. You know, is God a God of scarcity or a God of abundance? Well, Paul writes, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And do you see the abundant words there? There's the abundantly and the abound. You know, it's not God is able to bless you with just enough so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will just about be able to scrape through all the stuff he's called us to do. No, it's abound. And notice the repeated word all. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, of course, we need to make sure it's clear that it's what we need and it's God who decides what we need, not necessarily what we think we want. But here's the thing. Our God is a God of abundant generosity. And the question is, do we believe this? Do we live this? You're probably wondering about the sunflower seeds. If you've got a little pile of them, now's the time to grab them. And I'm going to try and grab mine here without tipping them all over the floor. You can't actually see whether I'm holding them or not, but I am. So if you've got your seeds, you are allowed to eat them, but don't for the moment. Because in our reading, Paul likens our money to seed. But I think there's more going on than that, because in a sense, these seeds are everything God has given to you. So the seed represents all the things that God has given. So for me, the seed represents my time, my money, my possessions, my space, my friendships, my family. Now, I think if we've been a Christian a while, we're probably used to seeing all those things as gifts, which is absolutely true. They are gifts. God has given them to us as gifts. But Paul wants us to take it a step further. As well as gift, it is seed. Now, whilst you're holding those seeds, imagine a time before bank accounts and savings and credit cards and loans. And, you know, you've got your little patch of land, and you've planted your crops, and you harvest your crops, and everything you need for life, it comes from your bit of land. And this seed in your hand is the stuff that you've harvested this year. Now, you need to use this seed for two purposes, don't you? For food, to get you through to next year. But also you need to plant it so that you've got crops for next year. So here's a very simple question. If you ate all the seed now, what would happen next year? You wouldn't have any food. Yeah? You wouldn't have planted anything, so you're in trouble next year. If you plant it all this year, what's going to happen? You go hungry this year. Yeah? But if you think, well, look, I've got this much seed, and you know what? We'll tighten our belts a bit this year, plant a higher proportion of it, and then next year, God willing, we'll have a bigger harvest. Now that would make quite a lot of sense, wouldn't it? So there is our seed. It's everything God has given us, our time, our money, our possessions, our family, our space, our friendships, and so on. And the question is, what are we going to do with it? Because a proportion of it is for us to enjoy, to sustain us, to feed us. It's for you. Enjoy it. But also, God has given us it to be sown. In the language of this reading, to be given cheerfully for God's kingdom. And that is costly, because you put the seed in the ground and you don't see what happens for a while, do you? It's, you know, you've buried it. It's gone. But then it brings a harvest. Paul writes this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, plants only a few seeds, will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, For God loves a cheerful giver. And here's the thing, all through the Bible, the mark of true discipleship has been generosity. Well, there's been lots of marks of true discipleship, but one of the marks of true discipleship has been generosity with the things God has given. And it's a free generosity. That's why Paul quotes from Psalm 112. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Those in a right relationship with God have always been generous. They've scattered their gifts to the poor. At this point, I was thinking of throwing a whole load of seed at the congregation, but realised, A, there'll be health and safety implications in case anybody's allergic to them, and B, there's tidying up implications. But generosity is part of righteousness. Generous giving has always flowed from a right relationship with God. So a tight-fisted Christian is a contradiction. But when we start sowing our seed generously for God, not only does God generously give to us, but others praise God for his generosity through us. And when we're generous to other Christians, it builds genuine fellowship. And that's in verses 13 to 14 of our reading. That's why as part of the Church of England, we put money into a common central pot. It's called Parish Share where we are here. Each church puts some money in, and out of that money goes to support the clergy around the Church of England so that the poorer churches aren't penalised and richer churches can't go, hee hee hee, we've got lots of money, so there. But it builds genuine fellowship. There's a little church down the road in Stourport-on-Severn, and they can just about afford a minister, and through outside funding currently have an assistant minister. And I'm a good friend with a minister there. And when they heard we wanted a youth worker, they gave some money towards our youth worker. And yet our annual budget is about four or five times theirs. And so this seed, everything God has given you, what are we going to do with it? Because we said at the start, we all have something we don't feel we have enough of, don't we? And here's the thing. Actually, God is telling us in this reading that he has abundantly given you what you need to be generous in doing what he's calling us to do. And I think that changes everything. I think I'm in a process of transformation on this. Because it's changing my attitude to my time. Some weeks, I've done what God is wanting me to do, and I've ended up with far less time to prepare for Sunday than I would have wanted. Now, a scarcity mindset would say, there's not enough time, this is impossible, how am I going to do it? Stress is rising, the tunnel vision is coming in, and I'm pushing everything else out. But we have a God of abundance. He has given us all the time I need to do what he wants. He's a God of grace, of kindness. He wants me to be kind to my family. He wants me to give time to my family and to be considerate to the person who knocks at the door. He has abundantly given me the time he thinks I need, so clearly he only is asking me to give 2 hours, if it's 2 hours that's left, for that particular task. At which point I need to get down on my knees and say, Lord, you've given me this time to do this. You give abundantly. So in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I'll abound in every good work. Please help me to do what you want me to do in the time I've got. And that transforms it, doesn't it? Because now there's not enough time. It's actually God's given me the time, and what he wants me to do in it is only this then. And who gets the praise in that? God does. All right, let's think about money. A scarcity mindset says, I don't have enough to live on, let alone to give to help others. Now, we have a God of abundance who's given us enough to be generous. And so we come before him and say, you've given me everything I need. Please help me to use it generously for your glory. And it may be that we actually then have to sit down and say, well, I need to shrink my phone contract, change my TV contract, change what I spend things on, start to save for a rainy day and start to give to support others. But do you see how that's changing? I'm not saying that God's the problem. I'm realizing he has given me enough to do what he wants me to do. Maybe I just need to tweak a few things or change a few things. And what will happen? People will see God's generosity and how Jesus really is good news. Or think about friendship. Scarcity says, I don't have enough friendship, there's nobody like me, poor me, it's all bad. But we have a God of abundance who has given us the church. He has given us one another. And abundance says, well, God has given me them, I've just got to go meet them and find them. Well, what's stopping me? Well, I don't trust people. Well, perhaps I need to work on that with them. I'm scared of meeting new people. Oh, well, maybe I need to ask him to work on me in that. And do you see how that's starting to free me? Starting to free me. So what is it for you that you don't think you have enough of? And how would things change if you started thinking, God has given me abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I will be able to abound in every good work. And, I mean, the testimony of Paul in this reading and of Christians down the ages, that as we have trusted God in this, and, wisely, but being wisely generous, we discover that God, well, we sort of test God's generosity and discover that he is generous. We need to be wise, absolutely. Now, what does this mean for us as a church? Well, I firmly believe that as a church, God has given us everything we need to do what he wants us to do here. I mean, that's what it says, doesn't it? He's given us the gifts, the talents, the personalities, the money, the resources, the time. And if we put all our seed into it together, you just think, what could we do? And what praise would go to God? Now, there's a few specific applications I want to make, and then we'll sing our next song. But there are three areas that are in particular need at the moment within our church family, which I ask you just to pray about, and as well as to hear the challenge, the wider challenge of this passage. There's time. Sorry, I've just dropped a seed and it distracted me there. There's time. Maybe there's a few of us who perhaps could give 3 hours a week. And there's various things where we need 3 hours a week. There's Tuesday evenings or Thursday daytime or Thursday afternoons or evenings. In fact, any time that you've got, we could, if you had 3 hours to give, then that could be something. If you think that, yeah, maybe I do have that. Search your heart before God. There's needs there. Money. It's always a good, at least once a year, to just review our giving. Our financial circumstances change, situations change, and, I don't know about you, but I set up the standing order, and it just poodles out. And every now and then, I just need a nudge. Actually, Nick, have you had a pay rise? Have you had a pay decrease? What is the situation? What is God calling me to give at the moment? So do be reviewing your giving and put a note in the diary to do that. Our budget always needs balancing, and we have an annual gift day, which is sort of this day today, where we just say, actually, in terms of how we budget for the year, it includes additional one-off gifts from members of the congregation. And maybe that's something you need to think about. And then we don't quite know what to call it at the moment, but so it's called Project 2020, but I don't know whether it's actually going to be called that. At the moment, our youth worker and part-time children's worker are largely supported by outside grants. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when they come to the end of their contracts, which are for the youth worker, that's 2 years' time, children's worker in 1 year, we could say, actually, we want to keep the work that they're doing growing. We want to put some money into that. But that will require us increasing our budget over the next 2 years. So there would be some specific needs within our church family. But I want us to remember most of all, God is able to bless us abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. And to search our hearts before him, do we believe in a scarcity mindset or do we have an abundant mindset? Lord Jesus, please be showing us how you are a God of abundant generosity. And where we are slipping into seeing things in terms of lack or scarcity, lift our eyes to you and to see how you are a God of grace, of abundance, of generosity. Please be changing us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.